You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
My doubts behind, I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. Amen.
Let's greet everybody. Give everybody a greeting. Well, we had a work day yesterday over at the farm, got a lot done, and Rick was carrying like logs around. I thought he was Paul Bunyan or something. He asked me this morning if my back was hurting, and little Sammy was helping, and yesterday he said, "The pastor, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Of course, Sammy. Can I have you come over to my house after we're done so I can make you some muffins?" Yeah. I said, "Well," and then Rick intervened and said, "Why don't you just bring him some tomorrow at church?" So I said, "Well, you know, go ahead and bring me one." He said, "Well, can I bring you two?" So Sammy made these. So even little Sammy was carrying stuff around. It was fun. We had a good time. So today after service, young adult one and two, and any of our young families here, you're welcome to come over across the street. We're having a special event for you for hot dogs and hamburgers cooking out on the grill. We got the pavilion over there reserved. And so I want you to come and take part in that with us. And then our Bible studies are coming up. I'm excited about the men's study. It's Adrian Rogers. He was my spiritual father. And when we say father, it's a series on prayer. And I want to encourage you to take part in that. And then also, the ladies are studying the Gospel of John. And that's a great study as well. And then we've got Sanctity of Human Life coming up with Sue Chess from our local Crisis Pregnancy Center. And our senior adult luncheon is coming up January 20th in the fellowship hall. So bring the sides. We'll provide the chicken, a special speaker, and we'll have a good time together with that as well. Wednesday night, dinner and devotions. And then if you're our guest today, we want to invite you to just tear this little flyer, this off of our heart publication, place it in the offering plate so we can meet you. We want to meet you and get to know you. And then immediately following the service, if you'd like to purchase some of our Patriot drinks, our fundraising, Judith will be in the lobby and she'll be glad to accommodate you and help you with that. And you can get rehydrated after the service. So we want to encourage you to look for her and take part in that as well. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you and praise you so much that you love us and you want to have a personal relationship with us. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us today, specifically, Lord, about the powerful instrument you've given us to draw closer to you. And we pray that you would touch our hearts, encourage us, convict us, draw us to obey you, especially in the area of fasting and prayer. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. Thank you for your presence, and thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for a beautiful morning, Lord. We want to just tell you that we love you, Lord, and we are so thankful to be in your house worshiping you, Lord. We praise you and ask you, please, you know, to be with us on this service, that we may be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. And ask you to be with Pastor as he delivers your message, Lord. I want to ask you, please, you know, to bless these tithes and offerings and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to dismiss our children for children's church at this time. Go get them, little man. So I'd like to speak to you today about one of the most powerful disciplines in the Christian life, practices, a tool that God has given us to accomplish great, great, great things in our life, spiritually primarily, but also physically. And we're going to look at this for a couple of weeks. So today I want to speak to you about, my title is, This Kind Only Comes Out by Prayer and Fasting. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Matthew 6. I was having lunch with one of our families this week, and I told them I was speaking on fasting, and they said, well, maybe we're not coming. They were teasing, but I think, let's see, maybe. Yes, they were. And so this is a very powerful discipline. In Matthew chapter 6, we see that the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking of several practices that he intends for us to follow in seeking him and following him. And if you look in chapter 6, we're not going to go through the first two disciplines, but the first one we see, and Jesus precipitates this by saying, when you do this. So there's an expectation from the Son of God that we're going to do these things, that we're going to follow these practices, that it's going to be a part of our life. It's an expectation from the Son of God. So the first one we see in verse 5, he says, well, actually in verse 2, when therefore you give alms, when you give your tithes, when you give your gifts, when you express Christian generosity and obedience, he said, when you do that, don't sound a trumpet. So he said, don't call attention to yourself. You know, as I was watching our ushers, we really would like for them to pass the plates through everybody, but sometimes they're just kind of coming to you and holding those out. But when we do that, it's an opportunity for you to respond. Now, if you were to say, stand up and say, well, I'll have y'all know I'm giving $10,000 today. And everybody, oh, okay, we applaud. Well, if you were to do that, you would get your reward right then. In other words, Scripture seems to indicate that that would take care of it. And he talks about our practices before people, when we do these things before people or to be seen by people. So he says, give your alms in secret. Secondly, he said, when you pray. He expects us to pray. And prayer should be like breathing for us in our life. It should be an expression of our life. When you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites who make loud prayers and look, see me, see me. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, was preaching a giant rally in Chicago, and a layman who was one of the organizers of the event got up to pray and was standing in front of the congregation, and he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Finally, D.L. Moody, a very blunt, straight-to-the-point prophet, got up and he said, he grabbed him by the shoulders while he was still praying at the podium. I would never do that, I mean, but he grabbed him and he said, while our brother continues to pray in the corner, we're going to have the service, and just moved him over. And so he talks about those that pray to be seen. They pray for recognition. And again, he says, enter your closet and pray in secret once you're in a room, once you've shut the door. Now, let's look at the third practice that he emphasizes here. And that's in verse 16. 16 through 18. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. So we see this idea of fasting. And he says, when you fast, not if you fast. And we're going to look at some aspects of it. And then later, we're going to look at the benefits of fasting. We won't get into that in detail today. But so we see that he talks about prayer and fasting. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, we see that the disciples were trying to cast out demons, and they were ineffective. They failed. They miserably failed, and they were publicly humiliated. And so they came back to the Lord, and they were talking to him, and they, well, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we get these fallen spirits to come out of those people? Why couldn't God answer our responses and deliver them? And then the Lord Jesus said something very telling. He said, these kind only come out by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. So we'll say, I've been praying for something for a long time, months or years, and I've not seen a result. Why have I not gotten a result, God? Why have I not seen you do this or respond to this? And in Scripture, he said there's something. So if you could picture a triangle of prayer, just a triangle, the vast majority of it, who knows the percentage, let's say 90% of it can be answered through general prayer. Sometimes it takes a while. I had one lady praying for her lost husband, and I was down in Miami doing a crusade, and I went to her home at a request of the church and witnessed to her husband, and he prayed to receive Christ. She came out of the kitchen crying, and he said, women are very emotional. And she said, I've been praying for his salvation for 47 years. Well, I would cry too if God answered a prayer I'd been praying for 47 years. But see, we've got this triangle of prayer, and at the very top of it, if you will, there's an area of prayer that he says you can only affect it with prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And so these two things mix together. And we see there's some interesting things with that. So first of all, we see he said, when you fast, Jesus assumed we will fast. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Then the disciples of John came to Jesus saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. So here we see the Lord Jesus, and they're saying, why aren't your disciples fasting? We do it. It's a general practice in Judaism, and we'll look at some examples of that. It's a practice among the disciples of John the Baptist, who was paving the way and pointing toward Jesus. Why aren't your disciples doing that? And so Jesus said, well, the bridegroom, I'm the bridegroom, and the church, the assembled of Christ, my people, us, are my bride. And while I'm with them, they're rejoicing, and they're not mourning and exercising that. But when I leave, when I'm taken away, then they will fast. Well, that's now for the last 2,000 years. Jesus, as you know, ascended into heaven. And so God intends for you and I to fast. And through the years, I've exercised fasting in an unusual way. And we see that he talks about this as the bride of Christ, that we're to fast. Now, if we look in the Bible, we see some examples. First of all, we see that there's Moses, and Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. In Exodus 34, verses 27 and 28, then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I've made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. So here we see a 40-day fast, an absolute fast in one degree, and then a total fast in another, a full fast, where he didn't eat any food for 40 days and 40 nights. And so we've got that example from Moses. And then there's the Daniel fast we hear a lot about. And it's probably one of the most popular fasts because it's really a diet. You're eating. It's not when we think of Jesus. We know Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before he began his earthly ministry. In fact, he was fasting so long that Satan even used his hunger as a temptation. He said, Jesus, turn this stone into a loaf of bread or a bun, a roll. Turn this into bread. And what a temptation that was. It was for Jesus to step out of the will of God the Father, to use his own deity, his own powers, to pick them up. And it's not a sin to eat when you're hungry. That wasn't the temptation. That wouldn't have been the sin. The sin would have been him disobeying God the Father and using his own power to eat. So here's Jesus hungry, 40 days, 40 nights, fasting. And when he looks, he sees a stone, and that stone looks like a loaf of bread. Years ago, in fact, it was in 2001, the Spirit of God convicted my heart to do an absolute fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Some of you were here. Some of you remember that. And so I did not eat any food for 40 days or 40 nights. I lost 73 pounds in 40 days. Now, I've had people say, that's not a very good diet. I said, I wasn't doing it for a diet. The Lord convicted my heart to do it. And here's what's interesting. On the 21st day of that 40 days, 9-1-1 occurred. And I was praying for a revival in America. And immediately thereafter, now, am I saying that I'm the reason for that? No. I'm sure he laid that on a bunch of people's hearts to pray for that. But I was definitely a part of it. I had an investment in it. And right after that, people flooded churches, as usual in America. They got over it in like a couple of months. But they flooded churches and were attempting to return to God. Now, what's interesting is during that fast, the hardest time of those whole 40 days was meal times. When I was either here at church and the staff would go off to eat lunch and I would always go with them and they were like, see you, Pastor, and they're going to eat and I'm staying in my office. Or at home, Kim tried to schedule meals at an off time so that it wouldn't be tempting me. But I would sit and watch television, and I want to tell you something. Jesus could imagine a stone becoming a loaf of bread, but I watched the Burger King Whopper sizzling on television. And I never realized that most of the shows we watch, Everyone Loves Raymond, yeah, because he's always eating. It's all in the kitchen. And I never realized how many of these shows it revolved around food and eating and all of that until I was fasting. I passed out twice during the 40 days. And I was praying for God to just work in a supernatural way. And it blessed my life. Now, I was warned not to come off of it. If you fast more than like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you can't come off of a fast like that if it's a full fast, not eating food, and go eat salad. It could kill you. The roughage could kill you. In fact, one of the associate pastors down at what used to be First Baptist of West Palm, he did a 21-day fast, and went to a big salad bar, and they had to hospitalize him. So when I was strategically thinking, how can I come off of this fast? And I'm hungry. And so we went to Olive Garden and had all-you-can-eat soup and salad, and I only ate the soup, pasta fazool. I had 8 bowls of pasta fazool. That was not a good move. I mean, in a way it was soft, you know, the noodles and all that. It was soup, but it was not a good move. But I just want to encourage you as we think about this, and I want us as a body, as a group of believers, as a bride of Christ, I want us to fast this year. I want us to start tracking, practicing fasting, growing in your fasting. And one of the fasts that you could observe is called 16-8. And that's where you don't eat for 16 hours, and then you eat for 8 on a daily basis. Or you could do it once a week or whatever. So let's say, for example, you have dinner scheduled at 7, you eat till 8, that's 8 o'clock, and then you don't eat again, don't put another thing, food or anything nutritional in your mouth until noon lunch the next day. At 8 o'clock in the morning, that's 12 hours, 4 more, you've got your 16, and that would be a 16-8. And that could be a good baby way to introduce yourself to fasting. What do they call our first meal of the day? What? And what does that say? Breaking fast. Breaking the fast from the night before. So basically, if you wanted to start with the 16-8, then you would be winding up missing breakfast on the days you determine that you're going to do a 16-8. And so we see these examples. And then the Daniel fast, they call it that. And, of course, the Daniel fast was basically he and his 3 Hebrew brothers lobbying the king not to eat the rich fat foods, whatever they were eating there, ribs and steaks and whatever, all of this kind of stuff. And he said, can we just eat vegetables and drink water? So like vegetarian. And that's not really technically a diet per se, although it's called the Daniel diet. It's more of a schedule of a different schedule of eating. And so we see that in Daniel chapter 10. And then Esther, an unusual book in the Bible. Esther, as you know, was a Jewish girl that developed relationship with the king, was chosen to become his wife, to become Queen Esther. And she was Jewish. King didn't know it. He had a wicked cabinet member that wanted to kill all the Jews. And he was making these decrees under the influence of his cabinet member. And Esther, he didn't even know Esther was Jewish. He didn't know he'd have to kill his own queen. And so in that time, if you went in before the emperor without being summoned, you could die. It could be a death sentence just to go before him if he didn't call on you and ask you to come. So we see Esther calling for a fast and fasting in Esther chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens will also fast in the same way, and thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. And of course, we know the story. She intervened. God answered the prayers of all the Jews as they were fasting and praying, and it saved them as a people group from annihilation, from genocide. And a very powerful example of prayer. And then Nehemiah in chapter 1 requested prayer as he was going to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem. And so there's a fasting and prayer emphasis in Nehemiah chapter 1. And so when we think about this, it says here that they were to fast without food or water for 3 days. There's a thing called the rule of threes. the rule of threes. The rule of threes is you can go 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter in super harsh environment, like, you know, the Arctic. You could do about 3 hours if you don't have a way to shelter. 3 days without water, and basically, generally, 3 weeks without food. 3 days without water. And they say the absolute border limit without water is 3 to 5 days. At 3 days, you're going to really be in trouble. And if you're weaker, that could do it. And then without food, now there's one case of a man that was under medical care, and he fasted. He went without food for 385 days. But they were giving him vitamins. So that's food. I mean, that's a different type of food. That's nutrition. But he went 385 without actually literally eating 385 days. I used to think when I was a little boy that if I missed one meal, I would die. My mother packed lunch for my sister and I, and one day I forgot and left it at home, and I'm like second grade or whatever, and I get to school, and then it starts dawning on me, I don't have a lunch. I could die before school's called out. So I went to the principal's office. In fact, it just really touched me and broke me up. I was really worried, and I went to the principal's office, called Mom, you better bring that lunch right now. Lunch is almost here. You know, and I thought, I really did. I thought I could die if I didn't have the three. And so we see there's this aspect of it. Now, when we think about fasting, number two, when you fast, don't alter your appearance to be seen by people. You know, one of the things when you're baby Christians and you start fasting is you tell your friend, I'm fasting, you know, and you want to talk about it. A lot of times it's just interest. But, you know, there can be an aspect of, look what I'm doing. And in Scripture, he talks about this like he did the other two disciplines in this chapter, that when you fast, don't alter your appearance to be seen by people. And when we think about this, again, I wanted to emphasize there's the three fasts. There's a partial, which is the Daniel fast, what's called a fast. There's the full, no food at all, and the absolute, no food or water. And the no food or water, I mean, the water part, you got a definitely three-day limit. If you're going to go absolute, like nothing, nothing, nothing. And we do have some examples like we saw in Scripture with these Old Testament examples. And so years ago, I was a part of a group that sponsored Jerry Falwell at the St. Lucie Met Stadium for a rally, an I Love America rally. And at the time, Dr. Falwell and Liberty were having financial difficulties. And from that, I invited him. I was president of the State Pastors Conference, and I invited Dr. Falwell to be one of our speakers for that right after that. And I came to realize that Liberty University had fallen into debt. They had bond issues that fell through, and there was the televangelist scandal that cost donations nationwide. And Liberty got to a point where they're $72 million in debt. And Dr. Falwell, when he spoke, he talked about a rich tycoon that owned these tankers and all of these big ships and everything that went bankrupt and jumped off of one of his ships at 75 years old and drowned in the ocean. And Dr. Falwell got up and said, I know why he did it. I would never do that, but I know what it's like to have crushing debt. And he shared, he said, IRS has placed 5 agents on the campus at Liberty University. We've provided them an office. We call it the IRS building on Liberty Mountain. And they're there pouring through our stuff day in, day out, all week long, every day. And so he said, I thought, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And so I had a lunch with Dr. Falwell, and he told me about this. And he said, the Lord laid on my heart to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. a full fast, no food whatsoever. And he said, so I did that, and he said, I lost around 60 pounds, and nothing seemed to have happened, so I was off it for 2 or 3 months, and then I started another fast. And during that one of our great benefactors, A.L. Williams from the insurance industry, an insurance mogul, stepped forward and gave Liberty University $70 million in a donation and virtually took their debt away. And he said, I believe it was because of the fasting. I believe that God responded to my fasting. Now, Dr. Fowell did punch this in. Bill Bright from Campus Crusade for Christ, he says, I love Bill. He's a dear friend, and he talks about fasting. He's fasted 40 days, but he had vegetable juice and fruit juice. As far as I'm concerned, he was eating, you know, because there's nutrition there. I did cheat once in my 40-day fast. One day, I had a piece of Super Bubble bubble gum on my dresser, and I got that piece of bubble gum, looks like a little drum, threw it in my mouth and chewed it, and the sugar, I thought I was on cocaine. I mean, the sugar from that one piece of gum shot me through the roof. It's like, you know, nothing ever tasted so good in my whole life than that one piece of gum. But we see the idea of fasting, and I can't wait in next week or two to get into the benefits of, there are so many powerful, powerful physical benefits to fasting when we do that. So if you fast for pious recognition, you'll lose your reward. We see this in verse 16. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. So they're fully rewarded because of that. So he says, don't do this just for that reason. And then we see an example in 2 Samuel of King David fasting. The story is, you know, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. They conceived a child, and she gave birth to the child, and then the child was mortally sick. And it says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, so Nathanael went to his house, and then the Lord struck the child that was Uriah's widow, which is Bathsheba, born to David, so that he was very sick. And then we see later in the story, but when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David perceived that the child was dead. So David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, yes, he's dead. So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes, and he came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. And then his servant said to him, what is this thing that you have done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But when the child died, you arose and ate food. And he said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he has died. Why should I fast? I cannot bring him back again. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So we see this idea that David was fasting. He was just in tremendous agony and emotional agony. When there's some things in your life that are just seem insurpassable, that can be a time for you to say, Lord, I want to fast and pray. I want to abstain from food and pray. Now, we will get into it later, but when you stop eating, the blood that goes to your digestive system goes to your brain, a lot of it. And it really assists you. Your perceptions are incredible. On the 21st day of my fast, 911 occurred. I missed the first plane crash live. And Kim said, Daryl, come in here. There's something wrong. They said at first a crop duster or whatever had gotten off course or something. They didn't know on the first crash. in the first tower. And while we're watching, I saw the second plane hit, as many of you probably did, and saw it live. And during the day, that morning, just, and there wasn't a lot of time in all that, like an hour or so from start to finish when the buildings fell, I was praying, you know, and God like projected me into the building. I felt like, I mean, it was like a vision. I felt like I was in there on one of the high floors above the flames. And then as the towers crashed and pancaked, this just overwhelming feeling came over me. Everyone died. All the way down through the building, whoever was there, you know, as that went. And I had a spiritual experience from that. And it was because of the condition I was in and the practice I was following and what I was doing. So when you fast, maintain yourself to mask your godly discipline. We see that David got up, he cleaned up, he dressed up, he ate, and he didn't beleaguer it. Oh, well, I've been fasting, you know, and I've been praying. And he went on with his life. And then next we see that when we fast confidentially, we will be rewarded by God. And this is important for us to recognize verse 18. So that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Now, it's interesting, I'm speaking on fasting today, and right after we're going to have a picnic over here, and I'm going to be cooking hot dogs and hamburgers. And I've never been more hungry than I am right now talking about this. I can't wait to go over there, you know. In fact, I did skip breakfast this morning, so I guess I am technically on a 16-8 this morning because I didn't eat anything this morning. And we see this aspect. So one of the things I want to call the church to, I want to call our church to fasting and prayer. I want to ask you, if you will, to fast and pray with us on Fridays. And for us for the year. Now, if we have a Valentine banquet or something, of course, we won't do it then, or we could all just go sit and look at each other and drink iced tea. But I'd like to call for us Fridays, if you would be willing to do so, where you just don't eat on a Friday. You know, you give it a day. Now, you may say, I've got medication. You need to ask your doctor about all that. But I want you to fast and pray with me that God would explode our church. That God would fill it to the rafters with people seeking Christ, the lost, the unchurched. I mean, I wouldn't really like to see a bunch of people just come over from other churches. They're already in church. Great. For us, and as you know, last week I called for you, if you would, to make a list and seek either one individual or one family each month, 12 different units of either individuals or families for this year. And so one a month, you go after them. If they blow you off and don't talk to me about that again, and you really probably will not get that, virtually almost never. They'll be flattered that you want them to come, that you want them to be with you. But for you and I to fast and pray and say, oh God, help me win this person, this family. Help me reach them for Christ. Help me to draw them in to the kingdom of God. And for us to work through this year, and, you know, each month you can say, let's start a new one. You know, make a list, be praying for the list. I did this at my first church. I made a hard person list of our neighborhood, and I lived in a horrible neighborhood. It was in Broward County behind Hubcap Heaven, and that was no heaven. And I made a list, and I prayed for people in the neighborhood. There was a motorcycle gang that bought a house in there. I was praying for them. I went over and met them. Started trying to witness to them. They moved not too long after that, you know. So I guess they couldn't stand the Jesus heat. But, you know, praying, and I saw interesting things happen. And before we left there, I saw over half of the list give their life to Christ. And so I want to encourage you to do that, to fast and pray. And you maybe do a 16-8. Maybe do that on Friday, where you don't eat till lunch on Friday. Or say, I'm not eating anything for Friday. From the time you open your eyes in the morning till the time you close them at night, you don't eat anything on Friday. And you spend the extra time praying. One of the things that was surprising to me with the 40-day fast is I had so much time. I didn't realize how much time we spend eating, planning to eat, going to eat, preparing to eat. You know, in fact, bless his heart, Nick Bennett, when he was alive, and Nancy will confirm this, Nick would be eating breakfast and say, Nancy, what's for lunch? He'd be eating lunch and say, what's for dinner? And whenever he scheduled a lot of our trips for me. He would schedule the meals first where, Pastor, we're going to eat at this restaurant, and we're going here, we're going there. But we spend so much time preparing to eat, planning to eat, and eating. And you'll be surprised how much time this can give you on a fasting day where you're not involved in those activities. You'll be early to work. You know, you'll have more energy. And I found that when I fasted 3 days, 7 days through the years, these different ones, that generally I'm not hungry if it's just a day. The hunger really sets in the middle of the second day or into the third day. So when we fast confidentially, God will reward us, and we'll see the rewards. We'll reap the benefits. We'll see the effects of God as he responds to this. When you're fasting, it produces a metabolic switch in your body physically. Your body switches from using sugar for fuel to burning fat and ketones. And this is why we have these different diets that are related to that and refer to that as, you know, where we're seeking ketosis. When we're seeking ketosis. So I want to encourage you with this today, and I want to ask you to take part in it with me on Fridays. Now, we will have one of our men closing us in prayer and announcing a dinner for widows and stuff for Friday night. But most of us will ignore that because we're not widows or widowers. So let's bow together for a word of prayer. And I want to ask you, the most important thing on earth, by far, more than anything else, is to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To know him and experience him personally. To have him living in your life. And I'd like to invite you right now, whether you're watching, listening, or however, to accept him into your life. This week, we had Amazon deliver at the house, a guy, and he had me hold the package. He said, here, boss, hold this. He took a picture of it. And then he took a picture of our house, said, nice house. And to be honest, I thought he was of Middle Eastern descent, his look and everything. And when I was talking to him, he said, his name's Alexander. And I began to witness to him. And I asked him if he'd ever receive Christ into his life. He said, no. And so right there in the standing near the street in my driveway, Alexander said, I really need something. And I shared with him the sinner's prayer. He prayed to receive Christ. He started crying, showed me a picture. He's 21 years old. He's got a 2-year-old little boy. He said, I've got a lot of struggles in my life. And I really, really needed this. He got in his car to leave, the little vehicle, and he backed up, rolled the passenger window down, and said, this has meant the world to me. Thank you so much. God wants to do that for you if you haven't already allowed him to. And you can do it by just simply responding to him right now and saying, dear Lord, please, please, come into my life and forgive me and cleanse me. I want to know you. I want to experience the living, resurrected Son of God in my life. Please come in and take control. Thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to extend our invitation now and want to ask you to do business with God today. And let's stand together and sing, and you come as God speaks to your heart. Thank you. Please be seated. Steve McCord, I'm going to have you dismiss us in prayer in just a minute if you want to make your way up. And I want to ask Eric Henson. Eric, can you come up? Eric is one of our law officers in the life of the church and also certified as an ICE agent for the Treasure Coast, pretty much.
My department, yeah.
Your department. And I want to ask us all to pray for him. We're proud of you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for protecting us. Let's give him a hand. I'm going to lead us in prayer for Eric, and then if you would, Steve, I'd like you to dismiss us in prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and thank you for Eric and ask you to put a hedge of protection around him. We pray, dear God, that you just pour your spirit out upon him. Help him see things before they happen. And thank you for his courage, his commitment to protect us. And just use him in a powerful way for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Eric. Here goes Steve.
Lord, Heavenly Father, please bless us, keep us from evil and sin and all the struggles that we can have during the week. Please be that guiding light for us and show us the paths that we need to take so that we can be free of all the struggles that the world has in front of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The music and worship ministry at First Baptist Church of Stuart seeks to reach beyond the Sunday morning platform by engaging students and volunteer musicians throughout the week with opportunities to enhance their relationship with Jesus. During the week, young student musicians are taught how to engage in worship with instruments and vocal techniques. Wednesday nights are packed with musical variety, ranging from some of the greatest hymns of the faith being sung during our Wednesday night Bible study to participating as an integral part of our celebration choir practices, to being a crucial member of our Sunday morning worship team rehearsals. At First Baptist Church of Stuart, our celebration choir is blessed with bringing special music throughout the year on Sunday mornings and during holiday musical presentations during Christmas, Easter, and Independence Day.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Dr. Seuss famously said, "A person's a person, no matter how small." Join CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast for our spring gala on March 5th or 6th to hear Dr. Lau explain why Dr. Seuss got it right. Our theme is No Matter How Small. RSVP at CareNetGala.com. CareNet is a faith-based, nonprofit organization that gives confidential, life-affirming services free to the community as we come alongside families facing unplanned pregnancies. We challenge students to live God-honoring lives and provide abortion healing support groups. Dr. Lau has firsthand experience in abortion pill reversal, fighting for a second chance at life for the smallest of preborn. Seating starts at 6:30 and the program begins at 7 p.m. Please call 772-8255 28-3168 or go to carenetgala.com to RSVP today. We fill up fast.